for you.
Hey guys, welcome back to another week of Autastic, your comedian's guide to autism. I'm one of your hosts, Kirk Smith, and here as always, my co-host,
Graham K. What's up, everybody? How are you doing? It's a one-way conversation. Why did I ask? But I hope you're well.
You sound good, dude. You sound very clear considering you're out on the high seas. You're out in the exploring the world.
Yeah, back doing a comedy on a cruise ship. I'm in Haiti right now. It's a beautiful day. And
Great. That's great.
That's good.
What's the temperature? I'm guessing 80 degrees Fahrenheit, or what are you at today?
I got 77 degrees Fahrenheit. Wow. And sunny. Yeah, it's snowing back in New York.
Just like New York and
where
Ottawa.
I live.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm doing just fine. The old Graham show is doing just fine over here. Yeah, things are good.
Ah, that's great. That's good. That's
how
great.
Are you doing, man?
Good. It's my birthday this week, so that's kind of always exciting, I guess. Is it still exciting when you're past middle age? I'm not sure. Is that still exciting?
The guy only turned 60 once, so enjoy it.
That would mean that's middle age, then I live to be 120. Perfect. Yeah, so I'm having a little get-together this Sunday. Yeah, if you're in Los Angeles, follow my Instagram. A little shameless plug. I put the details of where we're meeting up for a little party if you want to come out for my birthday. And yeah, no gifts. Please support the Dream Center. The Dream Center does that outreach for the homeless people here in Los Angeles that is near and dear to my heart. Yeah. So
yeah, you're gonna start volunteering for them, aren't you?
Yeah, I started Dream Center. It's that they do the outreach for, you know, I think the number's 50,000 homeless people in Los Angeles, something crazy like that. I heard that. It sounds high, but I don't know. When you drive down there, there's a lot of people down there. So
there's got to be closer to 100,000 in all of LA. But that Skid Row is like, how is this an advanced society? How is this one of the greatest cities in the world? That's crazy.
It really is a black eye for our country and our city and our state. Yeah, I agree. It really is.
I mean, it's bad. I mean, Vancouver has a strip like that, but this is like,
honestly,
this is.
Go ahead.
No, it's worse, right?
Yeah, it's LA's way worse. It's way worse, and it's the numbers. In Vancouver, it seems like there's one strip that's like 100 feet long maybe a little longer. I know because I stay in a hotel down that direction sometimes when I'm in Vancouver. But
you stayed in a hotel there?
Well, I stay at the so you know how the city's
laid out.
How
cheap are you?
How cheap are these clubs that put you up? Yeah, there's that one strip on it's kind of the southwest side of town.
East Hastings.
I don't stay there. I don't stay there. Yeah, that would be crazy.
No, you'd have bed bugs. You'd be sleeping on a bunch of heroin needles.
Yeah, I don't do that. I'm trying not to get Hep C. No. Yeah. But there's the one here is way bigger. It's way bigger.
And are you there right now? Is that why there's police coming?
This is Los Angeles, brother. There's always police coming.
Oh.
It seems like there's always yeah, I was just gonna say the overlap between mental illness and the homeless population is big, and so
yes.
So yeah, it's near dear to my heart. So
I just always think, like, what if my brother? Oh, by the way, this is the Comedian's Guide to Autism.
Yes.
We always forget this part. We are two stand-up comedians. I'm based in New York. You're based in Los Angeles, and that we both have autistic people in our family. I have an autistic brother. You have an autistic son. Yeah. So anyway, I always think about my brother, Peter, like when I see homeless people. I'm like, what if he didn't have my parents? What if he didn't come in the background? You know, he came from a poor background. Would he just be on the street? I couldn't imagine. You know, I couldn't imagine. It would be just there's got to be somebody like Peter in America on the street, you know?
Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah,
it's crazy to think.
Well, there was the big shooting. Was it 2015 that made the news? And I'm blanking on the guy's name, but he was evicted from his tent, and there's footage of it. And then there's a struggle with four officers, and then he's shot, when he's reaching for a gun. But to me, it jumps out that he's clearly not all there, and it didn't have to end like that. It didn't. The officers are vindicated, and I understand, because they weren't given the proper training to like know how to deal with it. But at the same time, let's pay for the training. Let's so that people aren't shot who are clearly mentally ill and just need help. But anyway, long story short, yeah. If you want to buy me a gift instead, let's get involved with the Dream Center for my birthday. That'd be great. That would be great.
Yes. The old Dream Center. That's good. Good for you, man. That's good. I'm glad you're doing that. Good to keep busy. But yeah, have you talked to your son?
Yeah. My son's doing great. He's taken to his latest thing is he's figured out how to do a Google image search.
And oh, wow.
So he's searching for his cartoons that he likes, but he's starting to make, we hope, think, believe, that he's starting to make the association between his words and pictures. So I'm very excited about that. That's one more baby step to get him to communicate, right? So,
what do you mean?
If you want,
what do you mean?
If you want Barney, or if you want VeggieTales, you want Bob the Tomato from VeggieTales, and you put it in Google search, and you type in Bob VeggieTales, and then you hit search and click on images, you get a picture of Bob the Tomato. And so, trying to get that link between these little squiggle marks means something, and so then hopefully the next step is these squiggle marks mean. It means to communicate. So he could use these words. If, you know, Bob the Tomato would be the basic learning block. But then the next step would be, I want to go to the pool. You know, a way for him to communicate what he wants and needs and desires. And yeah,
that's huge.
That's really So I'm really pumped about that.
Wow, man!
So
congrats.
Really pumped. He's 19 now, and so. Mm-hmm. I feel like the progress is there and so excited about the school. He's in a program where he can stay in I hesitate to use the word high school, but it's where he's been, and he can stay there till he's 21. So I'm really, you know, 1 year at a time. So I'm really excited about that.
Right. I mean, this is sort of a big question, and you got a lot on your plate, but do you know what's going to happen after that?
No
idea. Where he's going to go after?
No idea. The goal is they're supposed to teach him life skills. And so, the goal right now would be, a hope would be that he'd be able to learn some sort of, landscaping or snow removal. There's snow like 6 months a year there. So some sort of snow removal job. Or landscaping job in the summer, or something outdoors that's physical, that he likes to be outdoors. And he's also taken to riding a spark, it's called, which is like these little sleds that they do. It's like a push sled. The front is like a sled, and then you stand behind it, kind of like a scooter, and then it's got two little blades in the back, or not blades, but I guess blades that you stand on. So you kind of run in the middle, and then the blades are on the side, and so then you spread your legs and you stand on the little blades and you scoot along. So he really likes that. So it's very similar to a scooter, to be honest. So
it's a Swedish scooter.
That's exactly what it is.
It's a winter
so he's really excited about that. He's doing good, you know. He's doing good. I was hoping to see him at the end of this month, and then I picked up a big gig, and so I canceled my flight, and now the gig just got canceled. So that was frustrating.
Oh, man.
But
Yeah.
If I was going to go see him for my birthday, because I thought that'd be fun. You know, it's coming up this weekend, and so. But yeah.
You had a flight already?
Yeah, I had a flight 2 months ago. And a friend of ours, a comedian, hit me up and was like, hey, you want to do this weekend with me? And honestly, I needed the money. And so I was like, sure, I'll take that. And then I'll postpone this flight. And then the weekend got canceled because somebody even more famous wanted the weekend. We were just talking about this off air. There's always a hierarchy, right? So there's always somebody more famous.
Dr. Ken.
Dr. Ken took the
Dr.
weekend.
Dr. Ken.
Yeah, who's Chow from
Dr.
the Hangover
Ken
movies.
From,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Who jumps out of the trunk naked, completely naked.
Now he's
a stand-up. Well, he was a stand-up comic before, too. He's funny. His wife had breast cancer, and he talks about it on stage, and it's really poignant and interesting. That part I really like, yeah.
Well, I hate him. He's causing... he has no idea this is going on.
No idea.
Because of his actions.
Because of his success, he bumped Theo Vaughn, who was going to work with me.
Autistic boy in Sweden is not going to see his dad.
It's the butterfly effect all over. Afflect? Did I say afflect?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, boy. How about you? How's
butterfly
your week
affliction? Going? Oh, pretty good. Not bad. No big news with Peter. I talked to my little brother the other day. Still taking care of the parents' house while they're in North Carolina golfing. And he's been doing it for... They've been gone for like 2.5 months. And, he's seeing a psychiatrist. He will not...
Psychologist or psychiatrist?
Psychologist. I really don't know the difference, to be honest.
One can prescribe drugs.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. But anyway, he's seeing a medical professional to help him, a doctor of some sort. She's coming to the house, and they're talking about his feelings and trying to not get stuck in the past, and because that's how he got fired from his last job. And he just wouldn't stop talking about the past, so... You know, trying to work on that, but he seems to like it. And I had a nice chat with him about, trying to get new friends because he's sort of not being very social again. And there was some progression in the talk, which was good. He was like, I was like, is there anybody in your group that you do like? And he mentioned two girls. And I was like, well, ask them out to go see a movie. It doesn't have to be a date, but you can still hang out with girls as friends, you know? It doesn't matter. And he's like, okay, I'll try. So I'll call him later on this week and see how it went, if he actually followed through and did it. But, I gave him questions to ask because he doesn't ask any questions. He just goes on like a monologue about himself.
Yeah.
And so girls like it when you ask them questions.
Yeah,
and so I gave him three questions to ask when he calls them. He probably won't put it in there gracefully. He can probably
baby steps.
Hello, yeah, but yeah, no, he's doing well. Other than that, he's doing pretty well. Oh, he's not drinking as much still. We had a family. My aunt came over or invited him over for dinner, and she offered him like a soda or a beer, and he turned them both down. My mother always suggests lemon water as a healthy alternative.
Nice.
And he's really taken to lemon water.
That's great.
So he asked for a water with some squeezed lemon in it. And so he's doing that. So I assume he's probably, next time I see him, he will have lost a bunch of weight because he's not drinking soda and beer all the time.
That's really great, dude. That's really great. Did you guys go ahead?
No, go ahead.
Did you guys try the O'Doul's, the alcohol-free beer?
You know, I mentioned it to him. It was a great idea by you, and he seemed keen on the idea. But it's if for new stuff, you kind of have to be there to show him.
Got it. That makes sense.
You know, I said look for O'Doul's, or when you go to the, I said you can buy it at. You can buy it at the grocery store in Canada. You can't actually now you can, but you couldn't before buy beer at the grocery store. And I was like, you know, it's the only one you can buy at a grocery store. He's like, oh, that's great.
Right, right.
So
that's great.
But I don't know. We'll see if he, I'll check. I'll remind him again because he would love that. But it's also probably got a lot of sugar too, but
yeah,
whatever.
Well, lemon water is clearly better for you.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's great.
So should we, what do you think? Should we do in the news?
Let's do it.
This is from...
This is a good one.
I like this one. This is NPR, National Public Radio, and the title of the article was Black and Latino Children Are Often Overlooked When It Comes to Autism. Sherry Alvarez says she knew there was something different about her son since he was 9 months old. Back then, Sherry said his pediatrician told her there was nothing to worry about. Boys are slower than girls, so just wait till his second birthday. We aren't using Sherry's son's name to protect his privacy. By his son's second birthday, Sherry said she was getting desperate. She didn't know why he wasn't talking or showing affection like other kids. At 2 and a half, she was referred to the Children's Hospital of Los Angeles. And it goes on to say, you know, it talks about what a lot of our listeners have probably gone through and, you know are familiar with it. Minimally verbal. And then there's possible lessons for the late diagnosis. But here's what gets interesting for us. A recent study from Georgia State University found that African-American parents reported fewer concerns about behavior like delayed speech, repetitive behaviors, even though their children showed a greater severity of these problems overall. But of course, it isn't up to parents. They're very likely parental aspects of this, but very likely clinician aspects of this, said Megan Rose Donahue, a lead researcher on the study. Perhaps families like Sherry's don't have the information necessary to really push physicians. It's also possible that doctors don't take these cases serious enough from the beginning. So here we go.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. Families and doctors alike can mistake ASD for simple bad behavior, especially in boys, as research has shown over the last several decades. A 2001 survey at McGill University in Montreal found that doctors are more hesitant to diagnose ASD in minority families. That's where it gets interesting.
Can I interrupt for a second?
Yeah, go ahead, buddy.
Reading this, I was like, you know, I'm like, oh, it's an American problem, you know. It probably, like in my head, I was like, it probably doesn't happen in Canada. And as soon as I thought that in my head, or like McGill University, which is in Montreal, I was like, God damn it.
That's right.
Anyway.
In 2007, a study of by a team at the Center for Autism and Developmental Disabilities Research and Epidemiology at the University of Pennsylvania found that African-American children were 5.1 times more likely to be misdiagnosed with conduct disorders before being diagnosed with ASD, which honestly sounds like simple racism. That last sentence is mine, obviously. That's not the article.
Yeah.
But it sounds like a doctor going, he's just a poorly behaved black child. Which instead of taking the diagnosis seriously or taking the when you're 2 and a half, how many behavioral issues could you have?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I'm not laughing for
this guy.
Anyway,
this guy doesn't like juice.
Exactly.
What a jerk.
Oh, people are so crazy. Anyway, so when Cheryl was growing up, Sherry was growing up, she had a cousin in the family who thought he was quote-unquote different. He was basically hidden, and we didn't talk about it as a community. He had autism, and we have to retrain ourselves. It's not okay to hide our kids. And this is one of the reasons for this podcast, to be honest, is I felt like sometimes as a society, we don't explore in detail what this actually entails and what this looks like and what – and I feel like that was one of the things that really – I don't want to say it drove Lorena's depression, JJ's mom, but I think it was a frustration where it's hard enough to deal with a severely autistic child. And for those of you who aren't severe and this isn't an insult to your being, but just on the parental end, it's a lot. And then when you feel like society doesn't even acknowledge or want to hear about it because it's somehow quote unquote embarrassing, that's asinine. That's insane. That's crazy. So,
yeah. Did she have some trouble with her family? Not accepting it?
Well, I feel like, yeah. And I feel like, I've started these conversations with my family where it's like, it's a delicate issue because I love my family very much. And I felt like my parents, unlike a lot of comedians, I really love my parents and they're great parents. But I feel like they didn't have any experience or insight into what I was going through. And so they didn't take it as seriously or offer the kind of help that I hoped in hindsight that they would have offered that would have really alleviated.
But this goes back to one of our earlier episodes where we talked about how it's also you can't be afraid to ask for help.
Exactly.
You know, and explain.
But you can't ask for help if you're hiding it. So it's like the whole thing works together, right? So if you need to acknowledge it, because if you're not acknowledging it, then people don't know. So like it's a two-headed, it's a two, it's a, what's that called? It's a
double-edged sword.
Where it's like
two-edged sword.
Two-edged sword. Where I didn't specifically ask my parents. I don't know what to ask for. I don't. But when you, if you don't talk, the first step is to talk about it. Here's what's happening.
And just to remind our listeners, or to inform our newer listeners, Kirk's son is half Sri Lankan.
Yes.
So he is a person of color.
Yes. He's half Sri Lankan, half Swedish. Learn his mom's mom was completely Swedish, and his mom's dad was completely Sri Lankan. So
he's a quarter Sri Lankan, I guess.
Yes. So his Sri Lankan family was I want to be sensitive about the way I say this, but in that culture especially, those kind of disabilities aren't really discussed. And when Lorena moved there, she really tried to partner with that community to destigmatize, because it's also a class thing. And so Lorena, by just speaking a few languages and having traveled and being fair skinned, was higher class. And so for her to really own it and be like, this is my son, he's severely disabled, severely autistic, and it would provide cover for other mothers who had if you were lower class, you're a maid or something, and your son's also autistic, and then people still believe, like some places, that it's a curse, that you've been cursed, or that it's the devil. Sorry, I shouldn't laugh, but I find that funny. But it's not funny to say.
No, you should laugh.
And so that's important. The very first step is to talk about it and to be honest and open about this sort of thing.
Cool. Well, good.
I've given a speech here. What do you think, Graham?
You just ended. I was like, okay.
I feel like I've been talking a lot.
No, it's good. Well, what's a podcast, buddy?
Fair enough.
The whole thing is talking. No, it's good. I never thought about it. I never thought about your son as also having to deal with that other hurdle. But why don't we continue with the article?
Right. Okay. So back to the article. This family is based in Los Angeles. So back to the article. Regional centers in Los Angeles, which offer services to the developmentally disabled, are now starting to look at the diagnosis disparity problem. The Westside Regional Center in Culver City, which I've been to many times, honestly, because when I was
I used to live in Culver City.
Yeah, that's right, the Bro House.
Yeah. So why you've been to that hospital or whatever?
Yeah, when Lorena passed, and I was trying to figure out what to do. It's a tough situation. You're trying to figure out, it's my son. I love him very much, and I want what's best for him. But selfishly, I want to see him. And so I tried to figure out how I could do all that. And so based on where I was living, the Westside Regional Center in Culver City was where we would have been assigned. And so, yeah, I've been a few times. There's some good people there. I felt like, in general, in this country, we do not fund it at a level that keeps us at par with other, at least not the same level as Scandinavia. And why we don't, I have no idea. Because we've got smart people here. We've got money here. It's all about priorities, right? And it's not, as of yet, a priority in this country, and it should be. These are America. He's an American citizen. It's asinine to me that you could get better care in a different country when we call ourselves number one, which is a whole different issue if we're number one. But if we are number one, all right, great. Let's be number one in medical care. Anyway, sorry.
Well, I'd love that.
Yeah, back to the article. I'm really on a soapbox today. Here we go. Back to this. Okay, the Westside Regional Center in Culver City was just received a grant from the state to look at how autism diagnosis disparities manifest within their intake and treatment programs. We've implemented a series of trainings with intake counselors on cultural awareness and sensitivity, and we're starting to have a lot of conversations about biases, said Tom Kelly, Westside's chief psychologist. One of the apparent biases among intake counselors at the center stems from the difference in the documentation that arrives with each new child. African-American families tend to arrive at the center with lots of documentation detailing behavioral issues from their kid's school or social services. With all these papers sitting in front of them, it's much easier for counselors to think behavioral disease, quote unquote, rather than autism. And that disparity exists in dollars spent as well. Reportedly, in a 2017 study, South Regional Centers spent $8,000 per client than the West Side location. And the racial disparity exists statewide. But here's my issue with this. I feel like it's a funding thing where they try to cut down on funding by wearing you down. And if you're a minority family, especially if you're, you know, if English isn't your first language and you don't know exactly what you're even asking for, it's easy to get swept under the rug, or like they wear you down is what is the whole system in the States, in my opinion, where you ask for something, they ask you for, you know, backup. And when, and then you provide that, and then it's another step. And it's just a system of wearing you down where they weed out as many people as they can to save as much money as they can, which is so short-sighted too, because then if you don't help these people and you're not going to kill these people, which I don't think anybody espouses, you end up with a situation like you've got in downtown Los Angeles, and then you've got the Dream Center that has to help take care of people with mental issues into their old age. So it's like...
it's going to cost you on the back end.
These problems don't go away. And I'm not saying the kids are problems.
It's better to,
I'm
have, saying them, it's better to have them, you know, weed whacking somewhere.
Exactly.
Making money, you know?
It's better to have them cleaning up Skid Row than living on Skid Row. I mean, my son could help clean Skid Row eventually, you know, or you could have him live there. What do you prefer?
Yeah.
I guess we did it. We went full circle.
Yeah, we did it.
Guys, thank you so much for listening. Sorry for I got my high horse today and gave a little rant, but as always, we appreciate your insights.
I don't know why you'd apologize for that, but okay.
That's true. That is the job, isn't it? Graham, tell us about what you got coming up, buddy.
Yeah, so if you are in the Chicago area, come by April 14th, 15th, and 16th, I believe, at the Comedy Bar. I'll be headlining there. It'll be a fun show. And, other than that, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at GrahamKOK. You, Kirk?
You can find me on Kirk Smith Comedy. There's weekly pictures of my son. Yeah, I'm going to post him riding the Spark this week, the little sled. Also Instagram and Twitter. And did I also Instagram? Also Facebook, I'm going to say, and Twitter. Coming up, I've got a tour of West Coast of Canada. If you live up in the West Coast of Canada, that should be fun. And patreon.com/autastic. If you want to support this podcast for as little as $1 per episode, we appreciate it. The money goes towards
how much we hate shilling for ourselves, but we should do it earlier in the show. But we just leave it to the last.
It's the very last thing we say, and most of you probably already fast forward it.
yeah, people have already turned this. If you're listening, I'm impressed, because usually I would assume people turn it off as soon as they start hearing the music.
But don't turn off if you hear the music. Listen to the plugs.
Yeah,
guys.
Yeah,
that's it. We love you guys. You can do it.